We continue now with the Revelations of St. Gertrude, compiled by the religious of her monastery. Chapter 4, How Vile and Despicable Are All Transitory Pleasures. About the feast of St. Bartholomew, August 24th, Gertrude felt herself overwhelmed with an exceeding sadness and a temptation to impatience. A footnote. St. Bartholomew was martyred in Armenia. It is related in the life of St. Elizabeth of Hungary that when the Blessed Virgin appeared to her during the vigil of Christmas, she mentioned the Blessed Bartholomew with St. John and St. Lawrence as special lovers of Jesus. She added, "If thou wilt consent to be deprived of all that is dear to thee, and even of thy own will, I will obtain for thee the same reward that Bartholomew received when his skin was flayed off. If thou endurest insults patiently, thou wilt be like unto Lawrence when he suffered martyrdom. If thou keepest silence when reproached and offended, thou wilt merit as John did when the wicked sought to poison him." Now, this caused such darkness in Gertrude's soul that she appeared insensible to all the pleasures which the presence of God imparted to her, and light was not restored to her until the following Saturday through the intercession of the Mother of God, when they sang in her honor the antiphon which commences, "Mary, Star of the Sea." The following day, as she rejoiced inwardly at the sweetness and tenderness with which God treated her, she began to reflect on her late impatience and her other faults. Then, feeling exceedingly displeased with herself, she prayed to God for her amendment, but with such discouragement that, beholding the enormity and the multitude of her faults, she cried out in despair, "God of mercy, set bounds to my malice, since I place neither end nor measure to it. Deliver me, O Lord, and set me beside thee, and let any man's hand fight against me." Well, our Lord, compassionating her extreme affliction, showed her a small, narrow garden filled with many beautiful flowers, but surrounded with thorns, through which a little stream of honey flowed. He said to her, "Would you prefer the pleasure which you might enjoy here to me?" And she replied, "Assuredly not, O Lord my God." Then he showed her another little garden, filled with mire and dirt, but covered with some verdure, and containing a few common flowers. Being asked likewise if she would prefer this, she turned away from it to show her aversion, and exclaimed, "May I never prefer the fearful illusion of an apparent good, which conceals a real evil, to him who is the only sovereign, true, unchangeable, and eternal good." Our Lord replied, "Why then do you mistrust as one deprived of charity? Since the favors with which I overwhelm you are a proof that you possess it. And why do you speak despairingly because of your sins, since Scripture testifies that charity covers a multitude of sins, when you do not prefer your will to mine, although by following it you may live without trouble and in honor in the esteem of men and with a reputation for sanctity? I have represented this self-will to you under the figure of a garden filled with flowers, and the pleasures of a sensual life by the verdure which covered the mire." She replied, "Oh, would to God 1,000 times that by the contempt of the garden of flowers which thou hast shown me, I may have altogether renounced my own will. But I fear the insignificance of the place disposed me to do so more easily." "It is thus," our Lord replied, "that in guiding the consciences of my elect, I only let them see temporal advantages to a small extent, in order to avoid exposing their weakness to great temptation, and to inspire them more easily with contempt for the false pleasures of earth." Then Gertrude renounced entirely all the pleasures of heaven and earth, and cast herself with such constancy and fervor into the bosom of her beloved that she believed no creature would now be able to remove her for a single moment from his arms, where she tasted with joy that life-giving draught which flowed from the wounded side of her Lord, and whose sweetness is infinitely surpassed that of the most precious balm. Chapter 5. The perfect resignation of St. Gertrude into the hands of God in all adversities, and what merit she acquired thereby. On the feast of the Apostle St. Matthew, September 21st, our Lord, having prevented her by the sweetness of his frequent benedictions, she offered the chalice in thanksgiving at the elevation, and having reflected that her oblation would be of little value if she did not willingly offer to bear all kinds of suffering for the love of Christ, she rose, in the fervor of her zeal, from the bosom of her spouse, in which was all her delight, and threw herself on the ground as a vile carcass, exclaiming, "I offer myself to thee, O Lord, to endure all that may promote thy glory." Then the Lord hastened quickly to her, and placed himself on the ground beside her as if to support her, saying, "This is mine." "Yes," exclaimed the saint, turning towards God and animated with fresh courage, "I belong to thee. I am the work of thy hands." "It is true," replied our Lord, "but this grace is singularly yours, that I am so closely united to thee by love that I would not willingly enjoy beatitude without thee." Being amazed at the exceeding condescension of these words, she exclaimed, "Why dost thou speak thus to me, O Lord, since thou hast such an infinite number of friends in heaven and on earth, with whom thou couldst share thy happiness, even had I never been created?" Our Lord replied, "He who has always wanted a limb does not feel the same privation as one who loses it in advanced years. In like manner, I have so placed my love in thee that I could not bear that we should be separated from each other." Chapter 6. The Cooperation of the Faithful Soul at the Holy Sacrifice. Five favors on which the saint was desired to meditate when unable to assist at it. On the feast of St. Maurice, September 22nd, as the celebrant pronounced the secret words of consecration, St. Gertrude said to our Lord, "Lord, the mystery which thou dost now operate is so tremendous and so great that I scarcely dare to breathe or speak. It is enough for me to hide myself in the deepest valley of humility which I can find, expecting my share in the salvation which thou dost there impart to thine elect." Our Lord replied, "When a mother wishes to do some work with pearls and precious stones, she sometimes places her child in an elevated place to hold her thread or her pearls, or to do her some other service. So I have placed you in an eminent position to dispose of the merits of this Mass. And if you elevate your will, even to desire willingly to suffer all kinds of labor and pain, in order that this sacrifice, which is so salutary for all Christians, whether living or dead, may be fully accomplished in all its excellence, you will then have contributed, according to the extent of your ability, to the accomplishment of my work." Once, when the saint was confined to bed and unable to assist at Mass, at which she had hoped to have communicated, she said to God with a troubled spirit, "To what must I attribute my hindrance from assisting today at the holy mysteries, if not to thy divine providence, my beloved? And how shall I prepare myself to receive the communion of thy adorable body and blood, since my intention at Mass always seemed to me my best preparation? Since you attribute the cause to me," replied our Lord, "to console you, I will make you hear the songs of joy with which heaven resounds when I espouse a soul. Hear then from me that my blood is your redemption. Meditate on those 33 years during which I labored for you in exile, and sought only to ally myself with you, and let this serve for the first part of Mass. Hear me telling you how I have dowered you with the riches of my spirit, and that even as I endured so much bodily labor during the 33 years in which I sought you, so also my soul feels an ineffable joy at the union and spiritual marriage which we have contracted. And let this be your consolation during the second part of Mass. Listen then to me while I tell you how you are replenished with my divinity, which has the power to make you taste the purest delights and the most ravishing sweetness inwardly, whilst exteriorly you are suffering the severest pain. This will serve for the third part of Mass. Hear further how you are sanctified by my love. Know that you have nothing of yourself, and that all which renders you agreeable to me comes from me. Occupy yourself with these thoughts during the fourth part of Mass. Lastly, hear that you have been united to me in the sublimest manner, and know that as all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth, I cannot be hindered from exalting you as a king exalts his queen to his throne, and consequently renders her an object of respect. Rejoice, then, in reflecting on these things, and do not complain again that you have been deprived of hearing Mass. Chapter 7. With what confidence we should have recourse to God in all our needs and temptations. As Gertrude prepared herself for communion on the Feast of the Holy Innocents, she found herself distracted by a crowd of importunate thoughts, and having implored the divine assistance, our Lord in his exceeding mercy spoke thus to her, "If anyone, when encompassed by temptation, throws himself on my protection with a firm hope, he is of the number of those of whom I can say, one is my dove, chosen amongst a thousand. He has pierced my divine heart with one glance of his eye, so that if I thought I could not assist him, my heart would be so desolate that even all the joys of heaven could not alleviate my grief, because he is a part of my body and is united to my divinity, and I am ever the advocate of my elect, full of compassion for their every need." "Lord," replied St. Gertrude, "how is it that thy immaculate body, in which thou never hadst any contradiction, enables thee to compassionate our many weaknesses?" He replied, "You may easily convince yourself of this. Has not my apostle said, 'It behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be able to succor them also that are tempted'?" He added, "This eye of my beloved, which pierces my heart, is the confidence which she ought to have in me, that I know that I am able and that I am willing to assist her faithfully in all her miseries. And this confidence has such power over my goodness that it is not possible for me to abandon her." "But Lord," replied the saint, "since confidence is so great a gift that none can have it, unless thou dost bestow it, what merit have those who are deprived of it?" He replied, "Each can at least overcome his diffidence, in some degree, by the testimony of Scripture, and say, if not with his whole heart, at least with his lips, 'If I should be cast into hell, thou, O Lord, wilt deliver me.' And again, 'Although he should kill me, I will trust him.'" Chapter 8. Of the Efficacy of Prayers for Others. God having revealed to a certain person that he willed to deliver a great number of souls from purgatory through the prayers of the community, a general prayer was enjoined for all the religious. As St. Gertrude prayed one Sunday in the manner prescribed, she pleaded most fervently with God for the deliverance of these souls, and being wrapped in spirit, she beheld the Lord like a king in the midst of his glory, occupied in distributing rewards and gifts. Not being able to discern exactly why he was thus so greatly occupied, she said to him, "Most loving Lord, since you made known to me last year, on the feast of St. Mary Magdalene, notwithstanding my unworthiness, that thine own goodness had obliged thee to grant mercy to those who approach thy sacred feet, since so many persons prostrated themselves before thee on this day to imitate the blessed sinner, thy faithful lover, do me the further grace to discover to the eyes of my soul the meaning of thy present employment, which I do not understand. Our Lord replied, I am distributing gifts. The saint knew by these words that God was applying the prayers of the community to the souls whom, however, she was not permitted to see, although they were present. Then he added, Will you not offer me your merits to increase my gifts? At these words, she was deeply moved, and not knowing that the community were then occupied in the same way, she was filled with gratitude, believing that something special was required of her, and replied joyfully, Yes, Lord, I offer thee not only my merits, which are worth nothing, but I offer thee all the good done by my community, which I attribute entirely to the union which I have, by thy grace, with my sisters. And I offer it to thee of my free will, and most gladly, for the honor of thy majesty and thine infinite perfection. And the Lord graciously accepted her offering. Then our Lord appeared as if disengaged, and covering himself and Gertrude with a light cloud, he inclined lovingly towards her and said, Listen to me only, and taste the sweetness of my grace. She replied, My God and my beloved, why hast thou deprived me of the favor thou hast bestowed on another, of revealing to her with so much clearness the mercy which thou didst desire to exercise towards those souls, since thou hast discovered to me so many secrets? He replied, Reflect frequently that my graces usually serve to humble you, because you believe yourself unworthy of them, and that you believe that they are only given to you as to a servant who is engaged for daily labor. And as if you could not be faithful to me without this reward, and hence you prefer others who serve me faithfully without these favors. And I have willed to render you like them in this, so that while you did not know more than others of the mercy which I desired to exercise towards these souls, you labored for them with equal zeal. Therefore, you are not deprived of an advantage you value so much for others. At these words, she was exceedingly moved, marveling at the amazing and ineffable condescension of the divine goodness towards her, in pouring forth on her such abundant favors. And when giving less, acting thus to preserve that humility which is the foundation of all graces. She learned then how God arranges, for the good of those whom he loves, the bestowal or the refusal of his favors. And being ravished out of herself in an excess of adoration and gratitude for the infinite goodness of God towards her, she cast herself, fainting away in utter self-annihilation, into the arms of her Lord, saying to him, My God, my weakness is unable to bear the excess of thy mercy. Then the Lord moderated in her a little the overwhelming power of his great thought, and as she recovered her strength, she said to him, Since thy inexplicable and incomprehensible wisdom wills that I should be deprived of this gift, I will desire it no longer. But, my God, wilt thou not hear my prayers for my friends? Then our Lord confirmed his words, as with an oath, replying, I will, by my divine power. The saint replied, Hear then my petition for the person so often recommended to my prayers. And immediately she beheld a stream, pure as crystal, flowing forth from the heart of the Lord into the person for whom she prayed. She then asked, Lord, what will this person gain by this, since she does not see it flowing into her? He replied, When a physician gives a draught to a sick person, those who are present do not see him recover his health the moment he takes the remedy, nor does the sick man himself feel cured. Nevertheless, the physician knows well the value of the remedy and how salutary it will prove to the patient. But why, Lord, dost thou not deliver her from the ill-regulated habits and other defects from which I have implored thee so many times to deliver her? He replied, It is said of me, when I was in my childhood, that I advanced in wisdom and in age and in grace with God and man. So will this person advance from hour to hour, changing her faults into virtues. And I will deliver her from all the infirmities of nature, so that after this she may possess the blessedness which I have prepared for man, whom I have exalted above the angels. As the hour at which the saint was to communicate was now near, she prayed God to show mercy to as many sinners as would be saved, for she dared not to pray for the reprobate, as he had that day delivered souls from purgatory by the merits of the prayers which had been offered. But our Lord reproved her timidity, saying, Is not the offering of my spotless body and my precious blood sufficient merit to recall even those who walk in the ways of perdition to a better life? Then Gertrude, reflecting on the infinite goodness testified by these words, exclaimed, Since thine ineffable charity will condescend to my unworthy prayers, I beseech thee, uniting my petitions to the love and desire of all creatures, that it may please thee to deliver as many persons who live in sin and are in peril thereby, as thou hast delivered souls from purgatory, without preferring those who are my friends, either by consanguinity or proximity. Our Lord accepted this petition graciously, and certified its acceptance to her. I would know further, O Lord, she continued, what I shall add to these prayers to make them yet more efficacious. Then, as she received no answer, she continued, Lord, I fear that my unfaithfulness does not merit a reply to this question, because thou, who seest the hearts of all, knowest that I will not comply with thy command. Then our Lord, turning towards her with a countenance full of sweetness, replied, Confidence alone can easily obtain all things. But if your devotion urges you to add anything further, say the psalm, Laudate Dominum omnes gentis, 365 times, in order to supply for those praises which men fail in offering to me. Chapter 9 of the Admirable Effects of Communion, and that we should not lightly abstain from it, even for our unworthiness. On the feast of St. Matthias, February 24th, Gertrude resolved for many reasons to abstain from Holy Communion. But as her mind was occupied with God and herself during the first Mass, our Lord presented himself to her with such marks of affection as a friend might manifest to his friend. Nevertheless, as the saint was accustomed to such favors, she desired yet more, and wished to pass entirely into her beloved so that she might be wholly united to him and consumed in the fire of his love. But as she could not obtain this, she began to occupy herself with the divine praises, which was one of her ordinary exercises. First, she glorified the goodness and mercy of the ever-adorable Trinity, for all the graces which had flowed forth from its deep abyss for the salvation of all the elect. Secondly, she returned thanks for all the favors which had been bestowed on the august Mother of God. Thirdly, for all the graces infused into the sacred humanity of Jesus Christ, imploring all the saints in general, and each in particular, to offer individually in sacrifice to the effulgent and ever-peaceful Trinity in satisfaction for her negligence, all the dispositions and zeal with which they were adorned on the day of their elevation into glory, and the consummation of their perfection and of their eternal reward. For this intention she said the psalm, Laudate Dominum, thrice, first in honor of all the saints, secondly, in honor of the Blessed Virgin, and thirdly, in honor of the Son of God. Our Lord then said to her, How will you recompense my saints who have made such offerings to me for you, since you intend to omit your usual offering of thanksgiving for them." The saint did not reply. At the oblation of the host, she desired greatly to know what offering of eternal praise she could make to God the Father. "If you prepare yourself to approach the life-giving sacrament of my body and blood today," said our Lord, "you will obtain this triple favor which you have desired during Mass, namely, to enjoy the sweetness of my love and to become united to me by the power of my divinity, even as gold is united to silver, and thus will possess a precious amalgam, which will be worthy to offer to the eternal praise of God the Father, and acquit yourself of the gratitude which you owe to all the saints." These words kindled in her so ardent a desire for communion that even if she had to force her way to it across drawn swords, it would have appeared little to her. Afterwards, when she had received the body of the Lord, as she made her thanksgiving, this lover of man spoke thus to her: "You have resolved of your own will to serve me today with others by brick, straw, and stubble, but I have chosen to place you amongst those who are replenished with the delights of my royal table." On the same day, another person abstained from communion without any reasonable cause. She said to her Lord, "My most merciful God, why have you permitted her to be thus tempted?" "What can I do for her," he replied, "since she has herself so covered her eyes with the veil of her unworthiness that she cannot possibly see the tenderness of my paternal heart." Chapter 10. The indulgence which our Lord granted to Saint Gertrude, her ardent desire to be conformed in all things to the will of God. As the saint learned that an indulgence of many years was published on condition of the usual offerings, she said with her whole heart, "Lord, if I were rich, I would willingly give a large sum of gold and silver, that by this means I might be absolved by these indulgences for the praise and glory of thy name." To this, the Lord replied lovingly, saying, "I grant you, by my authority, a full remission of all your sins and negligences." And at the same moment, she saw her soul without spot and as white as snow. But some time after, entering into herself and finding her soul still adorned with the same purity, she feared what she had seen before had been an illusion, as it seemed impossible that it had not been in some degree tarnished by the negligence and faults into which her weakness caused her to fall so often. But the Lord consoled her affliction by these words, "Dost thou think that I possess less power than I have bestowed on my creatures? If I have given to the material sun such virtue that if a discolored garment is exposed to its rays, it will recover its former whiteness and even become brighter than before, how much more can I, who am the creator of the sun, by directing my looks upon a sinner, remove all his stains, purifying him by the fire of my love from every spot?" On another occasion, she was so discouraged by her unworthiness and weakness that she seemed to have no power to praise God, nor to taste the sweetness of contemplation. But the Lord, by a pure effect of his mercy, so restored her courage by communicating to her the most holy conversation of Jesus Christ, that all her desires were satisfied, and she seemed to be presented to the King of Kings, her spouse, with the same beauty as Esther was presented to Ahasuerus. As she appeared so adorned, the Savior, in loving condescension, addressed her thus, "What dost thou desire, O Queen?" "I beseech and implore thee, O Lord," she replied, "with all my heart, that thy adorable and divine will may be accomplished in me according to thy good pleasure." Our Lord then named different persons who had recommended themselves to her prayers and asked what she desired for each individually. "Lord," she replied, "I only ask that thy most peaceful will may be perfectly accomplished in them." Our Lord inquired further, And what do you desire that I should do for you? I have no other joy, she answered, than to desire that thy amiable and peaceful will may always be accomplished in me and in all creatures. And I am ready for this end to offer every member of my body to be exposed one after the other to the acutest suffering. God, who had granted her the grace to speak these words, rewarded her for them afterwards, saying to her, Since you have desired with such ardor to see the designs of my will executed, I will reward you with this recompense, that you shall appear as agreeable in my eyes as if you had never violated my will, even in the most trifling matter. Chapter 11. How the soul may seek God and transfigure itself into Him in four ways. While the antiphon in Lectulomeo was chanted, in which the words Quium diligit anima mea are repeated four times, she reflected on four different manners in which the faithful soul may seek God. By the first words, By night I sought him whom my soul loveth, she understood the first way of seeking God by the praises and blessings which are offered to him on the sacred couch of contemplation. Hence the words, I sought him and found him not, follow immediately, because while the soul is imprisoned in the flesh, she cannot praise God perfectly. She understood the second manner of seeking God in the words, I will rise and will go about the city. In the streets and the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. Because the various thanksgivings which the soul renders to God for all the gifts with which he enriches his creatures are expressed by the words, the streets and broad ways. And as we cannot praise God in this world as he should be praised for all his gifts, the words, I sought him and I found him not, are added. By these words, the watchman found me, she understood the justice and mercy of God, which caused the soul to enter into herself, and then to compare her unworthiness with the benefits which she has received from God, so that she begins by her grief and repentance for her faults to seek his mercy, saying, Have you seen him whom my soul loveth? And thus, as she has no faith in her own merits, she turns with humble confidence to the divine mercy. And by the fervor of her prayers and the inspiration of grace, she at last finds him whom the faithful soul seeks. This antiphon being concluded, she felt her heart deeply moved by all the sweetness with which the divine mercy had filled it during this time, and with many other graces which would be impossible to describe, so that even her bodily strength failed her. Then she said to God, It seems to me that I can truly say to thee now, Behold, my beloved Lord, not only my inmost soul, but every part of my body is moved towards thee. I know and feel it perfectly, replied our Lord, because these graces have flowed from me and returned to me. But as for you, who are held captive in the chains of mortality, you can never understand all the reciprocal sweetness which my divinity feels towards you. He added, Know, however, that this movement of grace glorifies you as my body was glorified on Mount Thabor in presence of my three beloved disciples, so that I can say of you, in the sweetness of charity, This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. For it is the property of this grace to communicate to the body as well as to the mind a marvelous glory and brightness. Chapter 12. Reparation for the fall of a host, which it was feared had been consecrated. It happened one day that in preparing for Mass, a host fell from some fold, and all were in doubt whether it had been consecrated or not. The saint had recourse to God, and having learned that the wafer had not been consecrated, she rejoiced much that no irreverence had been committed. Yet, as all her care was to promote the glory of God, she said to him, Although thy infinite goodness has not permitted that thou shouldst receive so great an outrage in this place, and in the sacrament of the altar. Nevertheless, O Lord of the universe, because thou wert treated with a like indignity and irreverence, not only by thy enemies and the heathen and the Jews, but alas, even by thy most faithful friends, whom thou hast redeemed by the price of thy most precious blood, and I weep to say it, sometimes even by priests and religious, I will not make it known that this host was not consecrated, in order that thou mayest not be deprived of the satisfaction that will be offered to thee. And then she added, O Lord my God, make known to me what satisfaction is most agreeable to thee for each offense which is committed against thee, because I will try to accomplish it for love of thy honor and glory, even if I consume my whole strength in doing it. Our Lord then made known to her that he would accept the recital of the Lord's Prayer 225 times in honor of his sacred limbs and of his many acts of charity towards her neighbor in thanksgiving to him who has said, So long as you did it to one of these, my least brethren, you did it to me. And in union with that love which made God become man for us, and that she should deprive herself as many times of the vain and useless pleasures of earth, and occupy herself only with the real and true pleasures of the divinity. Oh, how great and ineffable is the mercy and kindness of our most loving God, which accepts and rewards as offerings what we should deserve most just punishment for if we omitted. Chapter 13. Of the value and efficacy of confession, how we should conquer the difficulties we feel in approaching the sacrament of penance. The Lord, who is ever jealous of the salvation of his elect, sometimes makes the most trifling thing appear full of difficulty for the increase of our merit. It was with this intention that he once allowed St. Gertrude to feel the duty of confession so burdensome that it seemed as if she could never perform this duty by her own strength. She therefore addressed herself to God with all the fervor she could command, and he replied, Why do you not confide this confession to me with such confidence that you need think no more of your own labor or exertion to make it perfect? She replied, I have a full and superabundant confidence in thy mercy and omnipotence, my loving God, but I think it is only just, as I have offended thee by my sins, that I should give thee some tokens of my amendment by reflecting on the disorders of my life in the bitterness of my soul. Our Lord, having manifested to her that her design was agreeable to him, Gertrude occupied herself entirely with the recollections of her sins, and it appeared to her as if her skin were torn in several places, and as if it had been pierced with thorns. Then, having discovered her wounds and miseries to the Father of Mercies as to a wise and faithful physician, he inclined lovingly towards her and said, I will warm the bath of confession for you by my divine breath, and when you have bathed yourself in it, according to my desire, you will appear without spot before me. Then she prepared in all haste to plunge into this bath, saying, Lord, I renounce every sentiment of human respect for love of thee, and even should I be obliged to publish my crimes to the whole world, I am ready to do so. Then our Lord covered her with his mantle and allowed her to repose upon his bosom until this bath was prepared for her. When the time came for confession, she was more tried than before. Lord, she exclaimed, Since thy paternal love knows all I suffer about this confession, why dost thou permit me to be weighed down by this trial? Those who take a bath, replied our Lord, are accustomed to having themselves rubbed in order to purify themselves more completely. Thus the trouble of mind which you suffer will serve to purify you. Then, having perceived on the right side of her spouse a bath which exhaled a thick vapor, she saw on the other side a delicious garden enameled with flowers, of which the most remarkable were roses without thorns, of rare beauty, which emitted a sweet and vivifying odor, attracting all who approached thither. The Lord made a sign to her to enter this garden, if she preferred it to the bath which she feared so much. "Not this, O Lord," she exclaimed, "but the bath which thou hast warmed for me by thy divine breath." Our Lord replied, "May it avail for your eternal salvation." Gertrude then understood that the garden represented the interior joys of divine grace, which exposed the faithful soul to the south wind of charity, water it with the loving dew of tears, and in an instant make it whiter than snow, assuring it not only of a general pardon of all its faults, but even of a new increase of merit. But she doubted not God was better pleased that for love of him she had chosen what was painful and refused what was consoling. Then, having retired to pray after her confession, she felt a most powerful assistance from God in this exercise, so that what he had formerly made so painful to her now appeared light and easy. It must be observed here that the soul is purified from the stain of sin principally in two manners. First, by the bitterness of penance, which is represented under the figure of a bath, and secondly, by the sweet embrace of divine love, which is figured by the garden. Before confession, the saint had occupied herself in contemplating the wound of the left hand, so that after this bath she might rest therein until she could accomplish the penance enjoined by the priest. But as it was such that she was obliged to defer it for some time, she was extremely afflicted that she could not converse familiarly and freely with her faithful and amiable spouse until she had paid this debt. Therefore, during Mass, as the priest immolated the sacred host, which truly and efficaciously blots out all the sins of men, she offered to God thanksgiving for all that he had done for her in the bath of penance and in satisfaction for her faults. This the Eternal Father accepted and received her into his bosom, where she learned that this Orient from on high had visited her in the plenitude of mercy and truth. Let us continue with the revelations of Saint Gertrude on the next tape.